Program directors across the country will tell you, Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is a first class...
Hey, that's not what you want to hear, right? Hi, I'm Tom Gresham, and I want to thank you for at least listening to this demo and what the show is about. You know, when I first started doing this show years ago, so many PDs would throw their hands in the air when they heard the words Gun Talk and say, "What? Guns? My listeners don't want to hear about guns." Well, after we had a chance to explain how there are some 90 million gun owners out there, oh, I know, just because they own a gun doesn't mean they're in love with it. But listen, 90 million people had to learn a little something about guns, what to buy and how to use it, and they still do. That's what this show is about. Then there are those who have a true passion. They're avid sports people. They shoot for fun. They collect. They travel. And they spend millions of dollars doing it. And there's that other, often unspoken part. Men and women deciding to get a gun for protection. Now, it's not for everyone, and I tell them that. But for those who want to, I help them do it safely and responsibly. With millions of people spending literally billions of dollars, my program opens a lot of new doors to advertisers that might not have ever been on your station. Advertisers that your sales staff might never have thought to call on. Stores and companies like, well, gun stores, shooting ranges, ATV dealerships, and even women's centers who focus on keeping women safe. As you'll hear, we're all about safety. For instance, Greg in Salt Lake City at KNRS took the show for just 2 hours and ended up adding a third based on calls from listeners and advertisers that wanted to be on the show. Our stations in Dallas, Houston, Colorado Springs, and other markets, both big and small, have all said that the program is doing just fine. Frankly, some of these stations were skeptical about being able to sell it. But with our help, they not only sell it, they sell it out. Some have even gone to running the show twice a week just to handle the extra advertisers. Bottom line, Gun Talk is fun. People enjoy listening. It's open to everyone, and your station can sell it. We'll help. I appreciate your time. Thanks for hearing me out. Now let us know how we can help. Call Skip.
It's Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, where all the women are fast, all the men are accurate, and all the children are aware of their muzzles.
What's a muzzle? Hey, welcome again to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham here. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. We are 1 month away from a historic happening in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has taken up a Second Amendment case. It's called the Heller case. It used to be called the Parker case, but it got changed. Essentially, it is the Washington, D.C. has a ban on owning guns, basically, since 1976. If you have a long gun, it has to be disassembled, unloaded and disassembled in your home. I cannot register a handgun if you didn't have it registered before 1976. It was challenged. The circuit court ruled against the District of Columbia, ruled in favor of the Second Amendment being an individual right. So now it's going before the Supreme Court. Case is going to be heard on March the 18th. There have been a number of amicus curiae briefs. Those are briefs that are submitted, friends of the court, the other parties weigh in and say, we'd like to have a say on this, essentially. So everybody from the Brady campaign on that side to the NRA on this side, they're submitting these briefs. It really stirred up a lot of people when the U.S. Solicitor General, which is the U.S. Justice Department, submitted a brief, and it didn't go the way we thought it would. Frankly, what they said was, yes, the Second Amendment is, in fact, an individual right, but we think it you still ought to send this case back to the lower courts. Don't uphold the case because we want to be able to restrict gun rights. And it really upset a lot of gun folks. I guarantee you it did. Well, that's the United States Justice Department saying this under the Bush administration. So, the United States Congress got involved with it, and Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, she got 51 senators to sign an amicus brief to the Supreme Court. These are United States senators saying, we are in favor of the decision that the Second Amendment is an individual right, and we favor overturning the D.C. gun ban. There must be probably 80 or more amicus briefs have been signed by now. Going to be very interesting. We'll keep you posted on that. What's it going to mean? Well, nobody really knows. Kind of depends on what the Supreme Court does. If I have to handicap it, I'm going to say they're going to come down on the side of the Second Amendment being an individual right that the government can restrict. They will say you can put reasonable limits on it. What's reasonable? Well, to handgun control, Brady campaign, reasonable means banning all guns. To the rest of us, reasonable means we got to get rid of a lot of the gun control laws because we've been losing ground. By the way, for those of you who want to make a little note on your calendar, take note, 40 years this year since the passage of the Gun Control Act of 1968. For those who weren't around then and don't remember, before the passage of the Gun Control Act of 1968, you could go into any store and buy a gun. There were no age limits on buying a gun. 10-year-old could walk in and buy a gun. There was no such thing as a licensed firearms dealer. Anybody could, service stations sold guns. There were no records kept of firearms being sold. There was no FFL. There was no paperwork. There was no big bureaucracy that tracked all of this. Oh, have you noticed that we also didn't have school shootings, didn't have the gun-free zone, didn't have all the rest of it? What we got with the Gun Control Act of 1968 and 40 years of that is monumental bureaucracy, monumental billions upon billions of dollars spent with absolutely no net gain in safety, no net gain in terms of crime control, just more oppression upon people. So there you go, 40 years of that. Maybe that when they say, well, can't you gun guys just compromise? We've heard that for 40 years, because they want more and more gun control. They want to take away more and more of our guns. And they say, can't you compromise? Say, yeah, we'll repeal half of Gun Control Act of 1968 this year. And the next year we'll revisit that and repeal some more of it. So we don't have to repeal it all at once. That's our compromise position. When they say compromise, they want us to give up something, but they never give up anything. Notice that? Let's go talk to Barbara on line one out of Dallas. Hello, Barbara. Thank you for your patience. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
My question is, I have never touched a gun before in my life.
Okay.
My husband grew up on a ranch with shotguns and rifles.
Mm-hmm.
We are thinking of purchasing a gun for home for protection. I know I have to take lessons and all of that, but what do you recommend as something that I could actually learn to use, would be comfortable with, but would actually do us some good?
Okay, good question. I'm assuming at this point you're talking about a gun you would keep in your home, not one you would carry on in your purse or something?
Right.
Okay. And you've never touched a gun, so you have no background whatsoever.
Nope, I've always been scared to death of guns.
Okay. Well,
I'm now more afraid of the people busting in the door.
Yeah. Okay, let's start off. First of all, do you have good locks and lights at your house?
Yes.
Okay, because that's number one and number two. Then a firearm, I'm going to suggest that you consider a shotgun and probably a 20-gauge shotgun for your home defense gun. And I'm going to suggest that you get some training. I mean, and you said you know that you need that, but... And you're going to need, and don't let your husband teach you to shoot, by the way. It doesn't work any better than husbands trying to teach you how to play golf or tennis. It just doesn't work.
Hey, when we were first married, he tried to teach me how to drive a stick shift, and we almost divorced in the first month of marriage.
Well, that's my point. There you go. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
And that was 38 years ago.
So, you know, find a range, and you take lessons, and then he can take lessons separately. But you need to learn to shoot the shotgun and tell them, look, this is a home defense gun. The reason I say shotgun is because it's more difficult to learn to master a handgun. And the thing, here's the important part, is it's not just learning to shoot. It's learning, we call it tactics, but it's really what do you do or what do you not do in certain situations. And I'm going to take about 90 seconds and run through a few thoughts so that it kind of help you figure that out, okay?
Okay.
Basically, keep your phone, obviously, at your nightstand. Keep your cell phones on your nightstand also, on the charger. Don't have them charging in another part of the house. If you hear a noise, you hear somebody breaking in, you need to have deadbolt locks on your bedroom door. Most people do not. You need deadbolt locks on your bedroom door so you can lock your door. Don't go out into the house where you heard the noise. If you think there's a problem out there, don't go to the problem. That's just a logic issue. You have your door locked. You call 911. You keep your gun there. You point it at the door. And while you're talking to 911, you're saying, don't come in the house. I mean, don't come in this room. Don't come in this room. And you're calling 911 and telling them where you are, what your address is. You know, you think there's somebody in the house. And you talk them through the whole deal. And you say, and I have a gun, and I'm in the room here. And what they'll do is they'll send police officers. And when the police officers are there, they'll say, okay, now you can come out. And at that point, you want to make sure you leave your gun in your room, but you come out. But basically, the deal here is, it's just thinking logically, don't go to where there's a problem. So don't go. If you hear glass breaking in the other part of the house or a door getting kicked in, don't go there to find the problem. Stay where you are. And if they end up deciding to come to your room and kicking in your door, from a tactical standpoint, you are much better off. That way, if they're kicking in the door of your bedroom, then you can shoot if you have to. You don't ever want to have to shoot anybody. But these are the kind of things that a good instructor can help you work through, the things that you may not have thought of otherwise.
I never thought of the cell phone, because we have a regular phone.
Yeah, but what if they cut the wires of your house? You got to have your cell phone there.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Those are the kind of things that talking to people who teach this stuff, it's amazing the things that they can help you understand.
Well, thank you so much.
You sure welcome. Listen, I wish you luck with it. And, go to the store, talk to the instructors, talk to the people who sell the guns, and then see if they can't help you out with that, because I think what you're going to find is that it's really going to make a difference for you. 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. Be right back with more Gun Talk. Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. Let's talk to Jim out of Massachusetts, line 2. Jim, you're with us.
Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm just calling. You had the other caller that called about he was talking to a person or something and saying that guns make it easier to kill. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the mass killings with other things or whatever. Well, he should go to a list of school-related attacks on Wikipedia and check out what Andrew Kehoe did with explosives. He killed 45 dead, 58 injured. Mm-hmm. Or in Osaka, Japan, with a knife, there was a guy that killed eight students and injured, where is it, let's see, 8 dead and 15 injured at the Osaka school massacre. We have...
Not to mention what you can do with car bombs or airplanes.
That's right. Well, the one guy did with the bombs, and there was a guy in Germany that did. He armed with an insecticide sprayer converted into a flamethrower, a lance, and a home-built mace. 42-year-old Walter Seifert, I believe it was, he entered a school there and killed 11 and 22 injured.
Well,
killers are killers, and it also what you could. So these people say it makes it easier to kill. Yeah, it also makes it easier to kill them to stop them from doing that.
The problem is, and I know you know what I'm talking about, is that some of these folks don't want to emotionally go to the place where you have to go, which is on these mass killers. The way you stop them is somebody with a gun has to show up.
Well, that's who they call. You know, who do you call? To stop somebody, you call somebody with a gun.
And, I love it. They say, you don't need a gun because the cops got one. And as they say, it was a 90-second response time in northern Illinois.
And that's faster than normal.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's great, except that it's 90, it's 80-something seconds too long. If that's your daughter on the front row, an Eager Beaver student who's sitting in the front row to make sure she gets good grades, 90 seconds is too long. I'm sorry. But if somebody is in there, if you had been in there, if I had been in there, and people say, well, you don't know what you'd do. Well, no, actually, the person who's speaking may not know what they would do. I got a pretty good idea what I would do because
It's a matter of life and death.
Because you know why? Because it would not be the first time I had thought about it.
Yeah.
It's basically training, but it's pre-visualization. It's if it's the first time you ever thought about it, yeah, you don't know.
Right.
But if you've ever, you know, if you're a person who takes responsibility for his or her protection and safety, and then you go into a restaurant, and when you sit down, you think, okay, there's the exit, and there's the kitchen, and there's, you know, there's the three ways I would get out of here.
Yep.
Done deal. Don't have to think about it anymore. Not paranoid. Just being prepared.
That's,
if something goes weird, I know which way to go.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't want to take responsibility for themselves,
yeah.
So that's part of the problem.
Exactly right. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the call. Let's see. I think we still got Richard up on line three. Richard, you with us?
I'm with you.
Good. Glad you stayed on there. Appreciate your patience.
Hey, no problem. I've enjoyed the show today. I just have a quick comment on Utah law, as I'm here in Utah.
Okay, good.
As to those questions that gentleman had a few callers ago, and then just a quick question after that about choice of trigger action for a pistol as we're shopping for my wife for concealed carry.
Okay, fire away.
So, when it comes to Utah law, the Bureau of Criminal Information has it pretty clearly stated where you can and can't. If the gentleman was correct that it's secure areas and all that, you are legally able to go into any place that has a sign posted, like a restaurant or something, but if you are asked to leave, then you have to leave. And the only thing that you can be prosecuted for is if refusal to leave, you can be prosecuted for trespassing.
And if you are carrying the way you're supposed to, no one should ever know that you're carrying anyway.
Exactly. So you shouldn't feel any hesitation going into a restaurant that or a mall or someplace that says no guns allowed because, again, it's not against the law. And they can turn you away for any reason other than guns. They may not like something else you're doing and ask you to leave,
right.
And you're subject to the same trespassing laws.
Okay, good
so
info.
That clears it up really, really easy for everybody else. And, again, same with the university campuses.
Okay, good deal. Now, trigger action
yeah.
for your wife.
Yeah, my wife and I have been trying out some pistols, and she's tried out the Walther P99 and really liked the feel of it.
Yeah.
And I noticed that it comes in what they call an AS, which I think is just, they call it anti-stress, but I think it's just a single action, dual action. And then it has a quick action and then a dual action only. And I'm wondering if you have a recommendation as to which one we should investigate or which might be more likely one that she would
sure.
find comfortable, because they're so scarce, that particular pistol, that we may just have to make a purchase and wait for it to come, and we kind of want to reduce
okay.
the odds of having to send it back.
I am not a fan of trigger pulls that change. That is the traditional double action slash single action, where the first trigger pull is, you know, 10, 12, 14 pounds, and then after that the hammer's cocked and it goes to a 3 or 4 pound trigger pull. So you got a different trigger pull between the first and the second shot.
Right.
I just have trouble personally, and I know some people master that and it's fine. I have trouble mastering that. I would suggest either going with a trigger pull that is always the longer pull, the double action, or always a striker fired or single action, if you will.
Okay.
That would be my choice. I just think it is more difficult to master a trigger pull that changes as you shoot the gun.
Now, my carry pistol is a pre-cocked striker fire, and I just wasn't sure if the quick action moniker that they gave that to the P99 is the same type of trigger.
I don't know. That's another name that I'm not familiar with. I think it probably is the striker fire type. And I guess let me ask you this. What is it about the P99 that she likes? Is it the grip size?
It was the grip size. It was the ability to rack to slide more comfortably than other guns, and I know that loosens up a bit, but she, in particular, found this one a lot more comfortable, both in how it fit in her hand and also how she was able to work it.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that would be my take on it. As I say, I'm not a real fan of the trigger pulls that change as you shoot them. And then beyond that, I would sure recommend, and I really believe this strongly, that she make the decision for herself.
Absolutely.
And if you can't find guns that she can try the various trigger pulls on, I would go find something else. I would not buy or order a gun that I had not been able to try the trigger pull on.
Okay. Okay. Good
okay.
to know. Okay, excellent. Hey, can I just throw out one comment about the gun control issue?
Yeah.
You know, the day after the shooting there in northern Illinois, there was, I don't know if you noticed, saw on the news, there was a, a drag race accident where 8 people were killed and
right.
several injured.
Right.
And I don't see a lot of people jumping out of the woodwork to say, we need to ban all these performance parts that are causing people to go and drag race down these streets as they do in just about every city in the country. And it's just as dangerous as what happened the other day. And it doesn't make any more sense to ban those performance parts as it does to ban guns.
There you go. All right. Appreciate that, sir. Let's see. We got 1 minute. Okay. Everybody who's on hold, stay on hold because we don't have time to get you in right now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll take this subject up as we go along. Trigger pulls. Talking about that for a second. Real quickly, it's easy to teach somebody to put the sights on the target. It's easy to teach somebody to hold a pistol. The hard part is to get them to pull the trigger correctly. Press. Not pull. Press the trigger. It's a press. So you think, if you'll think, every time you put the sights on the target, you think front sight, that's where my vision is, locked on the front sight, and then you press. And if you say it very slowly, press, it will help you press the trigger straight back and get a good, consistent trigger pull. That's how you get accuracy. It's not the sights, it's not the grip, it's all about the trigger pull. 866-TALK-GUNS.
Listening to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, made possible by shooters like you.
Well, that's right, so call in your pledge now. Tom Gresham here, 866-TALK-GUNS, it's Gun Talk. Let's see, 6 years ago, Michigan passed its right to carry law, also called concealed carry law. Of course, as always is the case, the media said, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, blood will run in the streets and every fender bender will be a shootout, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as always happens, 100% of the time, always happens, now we have stories in the paper, oh my, 6 years and gee, nothing happened. We have the reporters saying, well, the incidence of violent crime has been on average below the rate of the previous 6 years. So we passed right to carry. Good people are carrying guns, hiding guns, concealing guns. And the crime rate, violent crime rate, is going down. The overall incidence of death from firearms, including suicide and accidents, has also declined. And then the Detroit Free Press also quotes the Woodhaven Police Chief, Michael Martin. He's with the Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police, acknowledging that his group's expectations of increased violence were unfulfilled. They expected increased violence, and those expectations were unfulfilled. In other words, you guys are dumb as a bag of hammers. What in the world would make you think that the people in Michigan are different from people all in the rest of the country? It's never happened anywhere. When good people get the ability to carry guns for their own protection, crime goes down. Good people with guns save lives. You know, you just want to send a huge slapogram to a law enforcement officer like that who says stupid stuff. We had several of these shootings in the last few weeks. There was one in Louisiana at the Louisiana Technical College. You will notice that it is illegal to bring a firearm onto the college campus in the state of Louisiana. All of the defenseless students at Louisiana Technical College complied with the ban. One man did not. In Missouri, of course, it's illegal to bring a firearm into a government building. So in Kirkwood, Missouri, all of the attendees there obeyed the law and complied with the ban, except for Charles Lee Cookie Thornton. He did not. In Ohio, it's illegal to bring a firearm into a school in the state of Ohio. All of the defenseless students and teachers at the Portsmouth Notre Dame Elementary complied with the ban. William Michael Lane did not. Again and again and again. Here we go again. Our number 866-TALK-GUNS. Let's see here. Rex, line one in Freeport. Hey, Rex.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, that flu you had, by the way, before I tell you what I was going to tell you, I got that 3 weeks ago, put me in the hospital for 8 days.
I'm telling you, it's nasty. I am. I feel like I'm 50% recovered and only 90% more to go.
It's really bad. It's a bad one.
I was horizontal for 7 days.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty bad.
All right.
Look, real quick, what I want to tell you. I remember I'm 53 years old, 54 here in September. My grandmother over in Menard, Texas. People in the North, I'm going to understand what I'm talking about. But you know what a shotgun house is?
Sure. It's a long straight house with a hallway that goes all the way down the way. Yep.
Exactly. Well, my dad was raised in a shotgun house.
Okay.
And he, just by the side, he was in the Air Force. He was on, he traveled with a Fat Boy on.
Out of Tiananmen,
yeah,
the atomic bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, that's back in the old days, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I remember when I was a kid, about 58, 57, 58, somewhere in there, she always had a double-barrel shotgun by her bed, and I knew not to touch the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember to this day, and I'm old, I remember looking at that gun thinking, I know that gun is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
She would have no doubt shot anyone who had come in that home. And Menard's a real small town.
Sure.
But if someone had broken in the house, there would not have been a problem. Well, my point is I didn't have to be educated. Someone didn't have to sit here and tell me to respect a gun, to understand what a gun was for. It was just an automatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the way people are raised and ROTC people are bad, back in the old days, New York. How many schools are in New York? 166, right?
I don't know. A lot.
They used to have ROTC in schools in New York. Back
sure.
in the days, all the time, everybody packed a 22, but not now.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know. Look, we used to have gun training in schools when I was growing up, and going even further back, my dad used to take his gun to school, leave it in the coat closet with ammunition, and then hide on the way home. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's changed. And yet, I do think that we're making some headway. It's going to be a long, long trip. I mean, it's taken us a long time to get to where we are. And part of the issue, of course, is that now we have the vast majority of people in the country live in a city of a million or more. And that changes things a wee bit. Let's talk to Mark on line 4, North Bend, Oregon. Hey, Mark.
Hey. I just wanted to comment on the lady that called in earlier about worrying about being attacked inside of her house and what have you.
Right.
I used to have a shop years ago, and I had a standard offer that any lady who wanted to buy a handgun from me got an automatic training lesson with it. And it wasn't anything official NRA or anything like that, but it was just the practical aspects that I was trained when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I notice is that most women are intimidated at buying a handgun because they're afraid to have either husband or boyfriend or whatever teach them how to use it.
Yes.
And most of the time, it's a best idea to either have an official course or a knowledgeable third party teach them what needs to be learned. But one of the things that they always came up with was, what do I do if somebody's trying to break into my house?
Right.
And the only thing that I ever told them was, and as long as you're not living on an apartment, a multi-floor apartment or what have you, if you're totally afraid that somebody's either trying to break into your house, inside your house, I just point the gun at the floor and torch off around into the floor. And if they still hang around after that, then you better be prepared to do everything you need to do.
Okay. I'm going to negate that. Okay. I'm going to tell you that's a bad idea.
Okay.
Okay. It just is.
Yeah.
You know what? You may need that round.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea to try to scare somebody with a gunshot. You're not justified in pulling the trigger, even to scare somebody, if you're not in immediate fear for your life. And so, I've heard all the stuff about, shoot through the door, drag them through, rack the slide. That's all bad ideas, in my estimation. Lock the door.
Yeah.
If they come through the door, then you shoot them. Lock the door to your bedroom. Don't go out looking for it, but no, don't go firing a round off. Who knows? You want to be in control of every round, and I got to tell you, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate the lessons that you've given the ladies and all that, but at the same time, I really think that's a bad idea, and I don't want to encourage people to do that. I don't want people to think that they need to be doing that. So, Mark, listen, I appreciate that, but I got to tell people, don't go with that one. I'm going to put a veto on that deal. Line 2, Randy, Salt Lake City. You're up, Randy.
Hi, Tom. A couple weeks ago, when you were at the SHOT Show, you were talking to a manufacturer about that's building a new gun that shoots the Remington 5mm mag.
Right.
I didn't catch all of that, and I wondered who the manufacturer is and who's building ammo for
it. Oh, okay. It's Taurus is building a revolver for it. There will be some other guns in Aguila, A-G-U-I-L-L-A. It's Aguila or Aguila is making the ammo for it. And it turns out they're making it in the same plant where it was made for Remington in Mexico anyway. So, but that's the deal right now. I haven't heard of anybody else yet, but I fully expect there to be some other manufacturers to come in and basically start making guns for the 5mm Remington Magnum. I think it's a cool round. It's I can't wait to try it out. 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. Be right back with more Gun Talk. Back with you, Tom Gresham here, 866-TALK-GUNS. I want to run down and pick up Russell on line two. Russell, you're on Gun Talk.
Yes, I've heard people call in before, and you've recommended people in their area who teach for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of self-taught, feel like I need some professional instruction, and I'd like to take my wife and I, and was wondering who you would recommend in my area.
Okay, your area being banned in Oregon.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know anybody there, but I do know somebody in Oregon I can recommend. It's going to be a little bit of a drive for you, though.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's actually a pretty good drive. It's Lakeview, Oregon, which is other. It's kind of far east part of the state. I don't know if you know where Lakeview is. It's basically, it's kind of south central, just about an hour and a half drive east of Klamath Falls.
Uh-huh.
Thunder Ranch.
Would this be a lot of drive, a lot of hours, or you know, can you do this in a day or something? Or?
It's Thunder Ranch is the name of the facility, and Thunder on the website it's thunderranchinc.com. Thunderranchinc.com. If you go to the website there, it'll tell you a lot of information. It's Clint Smith. His classes are largely sold out already for 2008. But he does do 1 and 2 day tutorials where you and your wife could go in and say, look, start us from scratch and let's do a tutorial for 2 days or for a day. Or you could just talk to him and call him and say, look, this is where we are. You know, how can you help us? That is certainly a possibility. Trying to think if there's another way. You know what? I'm going to recommend two other things for you just to get you started, okay?
Okay.
One is I've put a whole bunch of videos up on a website on self-defense and shooting and that kind of thing. And the website is guntalk.tv, not .com, but .tv.
Okay.
Guntalk.tv. And we changed, by the way, for those who've been there, we changed it up. It's real easy to go in. You can watch most of them for free. It's real simple. Guntalk.tv. The other is when you go to Clint's website, which, again, is Thunder Ranch INC, thunderranchinc.com. He sells DVDs, and they are fabulous. I mean, just there's no way around it. The guy is just really a monster teacher. And you may want to get one of those. And that way you could say, okay, well, that's kind of what we're looking for, or maybe it's not exactly what we're looking for.
Okay.
That would kind of give you a lead there. Barring that, I'm looking at where Bandon is, and there's not a lot in your area. Well, I don't have to tell you. You know there's not a lot in your area.
You're right.
Now, there are
several gun shops around, but there are places you can go to get carry permits, but I've never heard anybody say anything about teaching self-defense courses.
Well, you might just ask around and see if you can find anything, but I can tell you this. If going to Clint Smith and getting instruction is like getting a day with Tiger Woods. He's that good.
Uh-huh.
He is the best there is. I mean, there are some who are as good, a few, but there's nobody who is better. So if you could in any way swing it to get over to Thunder Ranch, I would sure recommend it. It would be a wonderful experience for both you and your wife. So check that out, thunderranchinc.com, Clint Smith over there. And besides that, he and his wife, Heidi, are very, very nice people. You'd enjoy them. Hey, thanks for the call. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. If you're on hold, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk. We're back back with you. Tom Gresham here. I just got an email from Billy over in Nacogdoches. Billy, thanks. We were asking about, somebody called in and wanted to know if he could use a 44-40 in his 44 Magnum. Billy says, nope, don't do it. Bottleneck cartridge, different diameter bullets. I wasn't sure and I hadn't had a chance to look it up, so Billy, thank you for that. Appreciate the input on that. Let's see here. Line 4, Steve's with us out of Mississippi. Steve.
Yeah, Tom, I was just calling to agree with you on the shooting into the floor deal. It's a bad idea. Your first and only warning shot really should be dropping the first intruder and giving pause to the second intruder.
Well, you make an excellent point. I didn't say it very specifically, but yeah, these days, home invasions are more times than not multiple intruders. You don't want to give away a round just to make noise.
No, and you also have the flash that gives away your position.
Right.
Especially if you have multiples.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, you know, if you're telling somebody, you know, basically you're saying, I have a gun in here, and if they hadn't thought of it, now maybe they come in shooting, which is, if starting a gunfight just by making noise is a bad tactical decision. So, yeah, no, I appreciate that. Let me ask you a quick question. What do you have in your bedroom for your personal defense?
I have my Colt Officers with Crimson Sights.
Ooh, you like the laser grips?
They work very well. I called in before. The only problem I have is having that thing hit my finger, and I only get half a beam or whatever, and I'm just trying to... My hand's big.
That's just a training deal. You're just going to have to...
I've been working on it. When I talked to you before with the fellows from Crimson Trace, I've been practicing with it.
There you go. All right. Sounds like a good rig, though. Unless I appreciate the call. I appreciate the backup on that. Line 3, Ed up in New York, real quickly. Hey, Ed.
Hi there. Sorry I missed the first hour of your show. I don't usually do that. But I understand that you were talking about the O'Reilly factor, who had two guys on debating whether people should carry in schools, be allowed to carry in schools.
Yeah, somebody called in and mentioned that.
Right. I was really disappointed in that the pro guy really didn't seem to know what he was talking about very well. And I suggest that somebody who's aware of the fact that two school shootings at least have been stopped might email O'Reilly. I don't know the details of those school shootings, but I know that they have stopped malefactors in the past.
Sure, that was Appalachian Law School and Pearl Mississippi High School, where Joel Myrick, the assistant principal, stopped that shooting.
Well, is there a way I could look that up? So I don't know if I can get all that down fast enough.
Sure. Okay. All you got to do is do defensive gun uses or do a Google search for gun defense blog, and you'll find Clayton Kramer's website. But basically the two sites, the two places where these have happened is the Appalachian Law School and Pearl, Mississippi school shooting, and those will help you get fixed up there.
And my understanding is in both of those cases, the citizens had to run and get their guns from someplace else.
That's correct.
Back.
So the shooter's able to continue shooting while they're having to run to their cars to get the guns that they should have had on them in the first place, and they may have been able to stop him before he shot more people.
Okay, well, I might suggest that you or one or two other listeners email O'Reilly Factor, and I'll do the same, and maybe we could actually at least inform O'Reilly that the person who said that there's no point in carrying guns in schools because they don't do any good is just dead wrong.
Well, that's like I call it the Flat Earth Society. They're arguing against something that already is fact. They're saying, well, that would not do any good, and you're right, it already has done good. It's like people saying, well, the Earth is flat when we already know that that's not the case. And they really look pretty foolish, and I think that people like O'Reilly look foolish, i.e. stupid, when they don't know that. The researchers haven't given them that information. It's their job to know it. Yet another reason why I'm not much of a fan of O'Reilly. Hey, everybody. Go out and do a little shooting this week. Be safe. Pay attention to what's going on out there, and we'll keep you informed right here. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be back next week with more Gun Talk.